That was me. I was a complete poser. I would have people come up to me and say, "Man, you are so put together. You seem to have it all, you're just all with it and you're just so confident." And then I go back to my office, shut the door, and shove three or four candy bars in my face because I'm thinking, what a lie I'm living. I'm telling all these people I'm self-aware. There. I am really glad that you came back for another episode of the podcast, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. I'm Shelley, your host, and today I'm going to be talking about self-awareness, everyone's favorite woo-woo phrase. Before we get started on this episode's topic, I just want to give a quick thank you and shout out to everyone who left a review and some stars on this podcast. You may not think that that makes a big difference, but it really does. Just one little small click can mean a lot to the person who is putting themselves out there like I am. And another thing real quick too is I have created a brand new habits course, and it's about creating better habits. It's based on my years of experience and my own implementation and then research, which I totally geek out on. So I'm going to drop the link for that new course in the show notes. Getting started on self-awareness. Just what is self-awareness? Well, if you look at the dictionary definition, it says, and I quote, "A conscious knowledge of one's own character, feelings, motives, and desires, and a clear perception of your personality, including strengths, weaknesses, beliefs, motives, and emotions." So, in a nutshell, that is what being self-aware means. And I know that self-awareness, being self-aware, is a term that is thrown around a lot. And I'm not really fond of that, of just the loosey-goosey sort of way that we throw these things out and people don't really understand. Well, I'm self-aware, or you can just be self-aware, or self-awareness is good, and not really understanding what it means. Self-awareness is really important. And if you go back and listen to my episode, The Time I Ran Away from Home at 50, that is when I created massive self-awareness within myself. But why is self-awareness so important, and why do we need to be self-aware? Self-awareness is important. And it becomes even more important when you're trying to redesign your life at this age, because it's like I've said before, and I'm going to say again, when you have hit 50 or 60 decades of living, you are so ingrained in what others think of you, what others want you to do, what you thought you should do but really didn't want to do. And you're at the point now to where they're so immersed in you that you believe that you made that conscious decision decades ago. I truly believe, and from my own experience, self-awareness allows us to act with purpose and not with knee-jerk reactions. For example, when I talked about in the episode I just referenced about running away from home, I had really knee-jerk reactions with my emotions. My ex-husband, something would happen, or my ex-husband would do something, and I would just go off into this flurry of nasty emails or nasty text messages. Sometimes I call him and leave voicemails. And that was a knee-jerk reaction because I wasn't truly aware of how my emotions affected the way I act. And I wasn't even really aware of what I was feeling. I always had just thought, well, I'm having this emotion, so I need to act on it right now because I felt bad. I felt really bad inside, like anxiety was just welling up inside me. And so instead of taking a moment and thinking, okay, Shelley, why are you feeling this way? Why is it necessary to go off and be so stupid and start sending these barrage of messages? A couple of things. First of all, like I said, I didn't know how to handle my emotions. And second of all, I did it because then it put the focus back on me. And this wasn't really something I figured out until probably months later, after I had gone out to Colorado, did I figure out that the reason that I was, in part, deciding that I needed to communicate with my ex in this way was because it put the focus on me. At least he was paying attention to me, and I got some of my needs met. Now, dear listeners, let me tell you, once I realized that, first of all, I was kind of embarrassed by it, and then second of all, creating that awareness, that self-awareness around why I was behaving this way, put the responsibility back on me to change my actions. And that's going to be a whole other podcast episode about taking responsibility. And so what's really funny about me talking about self-awareness now is I used to go around pontificating about how self-aware I was when I was 40. I remember when I turned 40 and had left my first husband, I thought I was the cat's pajamas, let me tell you. And I remember sitting in a little cafe in a little town where I was working that day, and I overheard two women talking, and I think they looked about in their 70s. And I'll never forget this. I think after I was eating my sandwiches, I was listening to this, and after this conversation, I think my food literally fell out of my mouth. It was so wide open. Anyway, these two women were talking, probably in their 70s, and they were talking about another person, about how she was having issues with her husband and some of the things that was she was doing. And one of the things I gathered was it was one of the women's daughter-in-laws. And the other woman said, "Oh, you know, she's only 50. When I was 50, I didn't know anything either." And I thought, "What the hell? You mean I'm going to be 70 and still, look back on my 50s and 40s and think, well, I didn't have my shit together then." So that put me down a peg or two in my whole going around talking about just how self-aware I was when I was 40, because, I had decided that I was going to get out of this marriage and forge my own way because I needed to and all this blah, 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 which I'm not discounting. But I think that for a lot of us, and this goes back to the notion that we just throw around this word self-aware, and we don't really know what it means because we like to think, we like to feel, and we like for other people to perceive us as being this well put together person. So we put together these thoughts, we put them out in the world. It's like, oh yeah, I'm self-aware. I'm self-aware, and here's how I know I'm self-aware, when we're really not. So I call bullshit on that. If you're walking around saying I'm really truly self-aware, perhaps you are in some capacity, because I know I am now in some capacity, just like I have laid out some examples for you. But we are not really, I don't believe we'll ever really be truly self-aware. But that being said, you don't have to be the Dalai Lama. You don't have to be one of those monks that take a vow of silence and let go of material wealth and material goods to be self-aware. But I do know that you have to start that journey. You have to start that journey of self-awareness to be able to redesign your life, create a life you love. Otherwise, you're just rolling around and wallowing around in those old patterns, and you're just pretending. You are just a poser in self-awareness. And I'm not trying to be harsh here, because I will tell you, listeners, that was me. I was a complete poser. I would have people come up to me and say, "Man, you are so put together. You seem to have it all, you're just all with it, and you're just so confident." And then I go back to my office, shut the door, and shove three or four candy bars in my face, because I'm thinking, what a lie I'm living. I'm telling all these people I'm self-aware, and I'm not. Which leads me to another point. You're probably going to be saying, well, if you're not an expert on self-awareness and you're saying now you're not fully self-aware, who are you to be telling me about self-awareness? Well, I'll grant you that. I am not the most self-aware person in the world, but I am the person that's going to tell you about my experiences and how I have created some self-awareness in my life, and how you can too, to really truly be able to do the things that you want to do in your life. Because if you're not aware of how your habits, your emotions, and I've said this before, how they manifest themselves and how they interact in your lives, then you're not going to be able to really create self-awareness to know how to move forward with purpose and not be so knee-jerk, have a knee-jerk reaction about everything. So if you are self-aware, if you are on that self-awareness path, you can then objectively evaluate yourself. Like I did when I realized one of the reasons I was sending these messages to my ex-husband was because I wanted his attention. You can evaluate yourself, manage your emotions. Oh, that's a huge one. Align your behavior with your values and understand correctly how others perceive you. So, when you're self-aware, those things happen. So, I want you to go back and listen to that. And I want you to think, what areas do I need help in creating some self-awareness? And then we're going to talk about some ways that you can do that. One of the best ways that I have found to start creating some self-awareness is to start looking at your habits. And I am focused on that because I just dropped the habits course today. I think habits are one of the most important things to look at when you're creating self-awareness. You have to understand how habits begin, what triggers your habits, and how to successfully navigate creating better habits while letting go of habits that don't serve you like they should. I think people believe that they make these decisions every day consciously. Like your habit of plopping down on the couch and turning on Netflix after work is a conscious decision you make, when really it is nothing more than a habit. I know that's a habit I have, and today, to this day, I still do that a lot, is I don't think about, oh, when I get home, I've made the decision to sit down on the couch and turn on Netflix. I don't make that decision. I just come home, change my clothes, and I sit down on the couch because it's a habit that has been triggered by certain activities. So taking a really good look at your habit, understanding the triggers, because habits run on a loop. You have the trigger, you have the action, and you have the reward. One of the examples I use in the course is the trigger is that you're bored or stressed at work. The action is you get up, you go get a candy bar, and you get that sudden rush of dopamine to your brain, which your brain loves. And then we'll say, I need more candy bars when I'm bored or stressed because your reward is that instant sugar rush, that dopamine, which makes us happy. One of the things that you can do right now is to think of a habit you want to change, whether it be stress eating, whether it be negative thinking, perhaps coming home and plopping down on the couch after work with a bag of chips. Whatever that habit looks like for you, spend some time thinking about your day and some of the things that you do that you wish you'd think, oh man, I should probably get up and go exercise instead of just sitting on the couch eating a bag of chips every day. Those are the things that you need to really put some thought into. And go for about a week writing down what you notice about these habits. And you have to write it down in the moment because research shows that although we like to think we have a steel trap of a memory, we don't. So oftentimes, if you wait till you get home or the end of the day to journal about how your day went, your habits, what you ate, etc., you're going to forget or you're going to misrepresent or you're going to make it less than it really is. So carry a little notebook with you and in that moment, stop and say, I'm eating this candy bar because I am doing this because. And what can I do instead of? So let's use the example of being bored at work. You're stressed or you're bored at work. You get up, you go grab a candy bar, you get that instant dopamine release, which is your reward. Instead of getting the candy bar, go for a walk around the office, put on a YouTube meditation, or just sit with your eyes closed, your office door closed, and your eyes shut. What you do is you exchange one habit for another. It's not just enough to say, I'm going to stop eating candy bars or whatever habit, because I tell you what, your brain is powerful and your brain likes to take things easy, and your brain will take the easiest route to end its discomfort. So just by saying sheer willpower, I will not eat that candy bar, which is going to be a whole other topic for this podcast, willpower, is that you cannot fight that. Your brain is going to win every time. So replacing it with something, else that's going to give you a reward. So you're bored at work and you do those things I suggested, and your brain's going to get a reward of feeling calm and less stressed. So I want you to give that a try. Figure out a habit that you need to change, replace it with a better habit, and then I would love to hear how that works for you. You can email me at shelly@shellydryman.com. I'll drop that down in the show notes and let me know. Let me know how that works for you. Okay, peeps, I think that's about it for now. And if you're so inclined and you feel that this will be a beneficial episode for someone, please share it with them. I would greatly appreciate it. And until next time, stay awesome.